Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Stay Up podcast, an investigation of street art told from the perspectives of the artists themselves. And unless you've been living under a rock, street art has exploded in recent years, and you really can't go in any bookstore, your Cineplex, even Disneyland without feeling some sort of the influence of street art. So each week we'll explore the ins and outs of the world with a new guest. My name is Jim Dacian. I'm your host, and on the line I have Third One from The Satisfaction. Third One, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Would you do us a favor and give us a little bit of an introduction to yourself, where the name Third One comes from, and perhaps a little bit of background on the collective, The Satisfaction, because those are probably some new terms for folks.
Yeah, absolutely. My alias is Third One. That's the pen name that I use when I write graffiti. And I started graffiti about a little over 15 years ago in the mid-90s. I grew up splitting my time between Milwaukee, South Florida, Boston, Massachusetts, and I've spent the last 9 years living in Los Angeles. I started writing graffiti in high school, 15, 16 years old, like most people. Grew up with the countercultures of skateboarding, punk rock, hip-hop. And then when I moved to Boston, I really started getting a lot heavily involved into graffiti. And then in 2007, when I moved to L.A., In 2007, I co-founded The Satisfaction, which is an art collective based here in Los Angeles. with its roots heavily in street art and graffiti. So my background is that very, very typical of most graffiti writers. So I really considered graffiti to be this young man's game. You know, you start when you're young, and like anything new, you're pretty terrible at it. And then as you get older and as you get better at it, you really kind of come to this crossroad where you shouldn't be doing it anymore in some sense. A lot of you could also equate it to skateboarding, whereas the ends don't really justify the means. You know, when you really get good and you get older, you have these responsibilities. You have to be at work. When you're young, you're reckless and careless. But, you know, for me, it's really become more of a lifestyle. For some who really catch the bug and really get addicted to, you know, what is initially the thrill that people seek.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say addiction, because as you're describing it to me, it sounds like momentum builds as you got older, as you moved to different cities, and then you hit a certain crossing point when you form a collective where you become part of a larger group that does this, and it just, I'd imagine, explodes even further from there because you have all these other influences and similar personalities coming together.
Yeah, I've definitely hit a couple different crossing points in my life. I mean, I'll never forget, I think when I was probably 17, someone who was older than me that I met through skateboarding told me, he said, listen, man, don't get into this graffiti. You know, you get into this, he's like, you'll never be able to stop. You'll never be able to stop. You'll find yourself just writing on everything. And, you know, it will be something undeniable. And, of course, I kind of laughed it off, but there are certainly, you know, now in hindsight, there seems to be some truth to what he said. Whether or not that would have discouraged me, probably not. But as far as crossroads, yeah, I have started a crossroads when I moved to Boston. When I was living in Florida, there wasn't a huge graffiti scene. It was there, but it was much more of an underground. You would have to know where to go to see it. And the participation and the public aspect of it was very minimal. And then when I moved to Boston, you know, there's been a deep root of history and a much more flourishing scene. Where I was able to, at that point, I had joined another pre-existing graffiti crew called ISK, which was the Illside crew. And at which point I was able to learn from those that were older than me and more experienced a lot more tips and tricks, tools, and built on my letter structure and really, really found myself, you know, heavily involved.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, it's an initiation that you go through, an apprenticeship in a crew, which I want to back up just a moment, because Satisfaction is a collective, and what you're talking about just previously are graffiti crews. And so there are two different things, obviously, and you'd probably be a good person to speak to that, and what is the difference?
There's a huge difference, and one, you know, without the traditional graffiti crew, there would never have been the door to open to the collective. I think one is really an evolution of the other. And you're right, it is like an apprenticeship. I can equate a graffiti crew maybe to a tattoo shop, whereas you have kind of an owner of the shop, and then you have your apprentice who are, you know, learning to do their tattoos. And then you have your individual employees who have their own individual strengths. One might be good at black line. One might be a guy who does portraits. And they share tips and tricks and techniques with each other. But, you know, ultimately you have your own clients and you're just under the house. You're under the roof of one name of the tattoo shop.
Okay. So within how often... Because what happens in, obviously, in reality television is when someone becomes a bigger name, how often would someone leave the crew or set out to start their own crew?
I guess it would be difficult to gauge. I don't think, I mean, it really depends on, I think in a graffiti crew, the relevancy really depends on the majority of the members. I think there might be some aspect of a revolving door, but most of the graffiti crews, I think, are founded first and foremost by a friendship. And I think the benefits to being in a graffiti crew are having the unity of almost like, you know, you have this unity of friendship and also somewhat of a unity of security. I think that in a graffiti crew, mostly you put it, you get out of it what you put into it. You know, most graffiti crews, I'm not sure the history of it. It seems to have like a three or four letter moniker, whether it's ABC or TDE or whatever it is. I'm not sure what the root of that is, but most graffiti writers put their name first and then might put their crew initials secondary. But what you could really take away from it is you could learn, I think they mostly, you know, exchange letter structure. They kind of might hybrid styles. They might paint next to each other on a wall or occasionally collaborate. And certainly, I believe, being in a graffiti crew, you have that all washed out for you and you watch out for me.
Right.
So more of like a tag team wrestling match as opposed to maybe both people in the ring at the same time. It might be, you know, one person painting while the other person's watching for police. And then
right.
You switch roles.
And there isn't there a crossover, though, between different crews? People can belong to more than one crew. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can belong to more than one crew. And, you know, crews will come and go. You know, the longevity of the crew will really be based on the dedication of its individual members. But I think, you know, most individuals that are a crew can probably hold their own, you know, depending on their skill level. But the thing is, if you're in a graffiti crew, but you yourself as an individual might not be recognizable to your peers, then there's really no point. So if I were to claim that I'm in ABC crew, and no one's ever heard of my individual name, there's really not that much relevance.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. So comparing it to a collective, how does a collective differ?
Well, a collective operates almost the opposite in some aspects. I mean, if you look at the definition alone, it's really what the individuals do collectively. It's not really about the individual, it's about the collective action. So as the individual is really kind of set as a secondary, and it would be your collective actions that would speak the most as far as the reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a graffiti crew, your reputation is based on the individuals that are in it, but in your collective, your reputation is based on what you guys do together, not what you do
mm-hmm.
separately.
Right.
So for us, the satisfaction, and we are, you know, it's a little bit of a funny thing. It really was an evolution. For us, you know, sometimes we are regarded as TSF, the initials of the satisfaction, but honestly, that was never intended by purpose. And initially, we had really kind of set out to avoid using that in a way to avoid confusion from your typical graffiti crew. You know, ultimately, I think it just, you know, sometimes TSF just sort of stuck just for the fact that the name, the satisfaction, is long, whether it's in print or hashtag on something on the internet or, you know, wherever it is. Sometimes it is ultimately was easier to say. But
mm-hmm.
for us, what was the most challenging when starting the satisfaction was that the members of it, we try to really abandon our individual identities to focus on creating a one unified identity.
Yeah, that is so against many of the things that I find in street art in general, which I think is somewhat refreshing, and also seems like a good strategy also in terms of getting that name out there, getting work out there in general, but so often it seems to be about the individual. Even tagging is about the individual, getting your name up, as you said. So sort of collectively letting go of that identity for something larger is an interesting choice.
It is absolutely the number one most challenging thing for us, and it continues to be, because there is a part of being an individual that you should be able to retain. Everybody wants to get the credit for what they do. Now, in the collective aspect, none of us are as strong as all of us. And certainly if you have multiple people promoting one unified name, it can go a lot further than multiple people promoting their own individual name. Even with the graffiti crew, you know, putting your initials of your crew is really a secondary thing. It's usually small. Actually, your name is big, and then maybe, you know, just written inside of the last letter is just those three letters that denote who, you know, your friends are or who the people you write graffiti with. Whereas for us, it's really about promoting the name, the satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's really challenging.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, because graffiti itself is such an ego. It's such an ego-driven activity. You know, it's really just. I mean, in a lot of senses, graffiti is just a really. It can be a really selfish act. It's about just putting your name as big as you can in the public eye, and then, you know, when you drive by that and you see that, you get that rush, you get that high, you get that sense. You know, that's me. Even if it is a pen name, you know, you know.
Right, you know, and parts of the subculture know as well. It's a specific audience for that. But with the satisfaction, it's a much larger audience. So your presence is, you've had art shows, you have an online presence. I've seen a blog that you've written, your website, you're represented by folks. Can you speak to audience a bit more as well?
Absolutely. For us, the evolution of the collective was also a way to renew our interest in graffiti and street art. Being active so long, the members, the founder, the satisfaction, have a rich history of graffiti in the traditional sense. And we have our own strengths as individuals, fine art, street art, music, DJing, and whatever else that is. So put together, we thought, okay, well, you know, we're not getting any younger. And like I said before, you know, graffiti really is this young man's game. It's really, you know, to be able to survive and have your longevity is really challenging as you grow older and have to face the responsibilities of work or family or health and money. Those things, you know, you can't, your life has to be a little bit more designed. So for us, we thought together, okay, we have this love for graffiti, you know, and we've reached our goals in graffiti. We've taken it individually as far as we can. Now, what can we do together that would be different, that might renew our interest in the subject? And what can we do to expand and kind of break boundaries to not be so typically involved or typically regarded? There's a million graffiti crews out there, and there's tons of them in Los Angeles. There's new ones starting every day and old ones fading away. Now, what can we do to blend the lines, to cross the division, to do something and make our own relevancy that might not have to be compared or contrasted to what's pre-existing?
Mm-hmm. So you've been around for about 10 years. You've achieved quite a bit of notoriety. Just looking for members of the collective online, I can come up with the various names, and you've acted as a spokesperson for the satisfaction. How often, especially when things are based on trust and friendship, do you get the young street artists that say, hey, I want to be part of this, you know, can I join?
Absolutely, we do. We do get it, and our satisfaction started as a friendship too. You know, we were friends too, with similar backgrounds, with similar history of our own individual graffiti. Maybe, you know, like I was part of one crew in Boston, and the other members might have been part of their own crews in New York, in LA, or wherever their respective cities are. But for us, the interesting thing about the collective is not necessarily the strength in the numbers of the participants in it. I don't necessarily think that satisfaction would be stronger if there were 100 members in it compared to if there were 10 members in it. It's really just the quality and the scope. And when you have a project where you really have to put a lot of focus on selflessly removing your individual reputation, I think that that's the number one challenge for people that might be interested in being a part of the satisfaction. How much of it are you going to be able to put, how much of yourself are you going to be able to put aside to help promote something that we will collectively take credit for? And then also there's the aspect of, you know, I think I don't necessarily believe that someone younger, you know, regardless of their enthusiasm, might have the wisdom to really function in a highly productive sense in the satisfaction. And that's, of course, no offense to anybody younger. There's people that are natural born talent. But it's really what it is it's, we're not a master of any trade. We're not, we don't claim to be, you know, the CD writers. We don't, you know, believe that we are style kings. What we are is, what we really take our pride in is being diverse in our mediums and our methods. And for us, we really put most of our focus on consistently trying to do things differently. So that includes not just graffiti. We still participate in some scattered traditional graffiti, and we still hold that close to our hearts. But we also focus on a lot of the new format of street art. And we're by no means limited to just doing posters, or we don't just do stencils. We don't have the goal of just selling art or exhibiting it in galleries, or, you know, we really want to get our hands in everything. And it's more of a self-satisfying and, you know, new format seeking method that we're going for. That's what really is the most exciting thing and the most rewarding part of being in the satisfaction. We feel like at our ages that we are in, and for me, doing graffiti, you know, starting in the mid to late 90s, it's been, you know, 15 years, and I'm one of the younger members of the collective. There's really nothing left to prove. So at this point, how can we do things that can renew the interest and the enthusiasm? How can we do things that are just going to be fun? You know, how can we flex our skills, and how can we expand in our mediums and expand the genre and just push the genre forward? How can we continue to do street art and make people think about it instead of just focusing on the individual ego and saying, well, how much can we get up in the street? How much can we, you know, force our name down people's throats? Because what's the point of the name if there's nothing to stand behind it?
Sure. It almost what sounds nice about it is it's not the attention grabbing and, for most part, the shallowness that is rampant throughout street art. And folks wonder, like, is it a movement? Is it something significant, or is it a trend? And as you have folks growing older within street art and talking about pushing it to new levels and being much more aware of the conceptual aspects of it, it has the feeling of a movement. It has the feeling of getting closer to the professional art world, even though there's that tension with the professional art world. So it kind of leads me to, like, where do you think this is all going then? You've obviously differentiated between graffiti and street art. You can speak to the satisfaction where it's going, or just street art in general. I'm curious what you think.
Well, the beauty of the satisfaction is we don't know where it's going, and we don't have to know where it's going. The fact that we've accomplished so much individually prior to conceptualizing the satisfaction as a project takes off pretty much all the pressure from having to do anything with it. What it is now, it's just an environment for us to express ourselves however we want to. And what's really great about it is we do have our own individual strengths. Like one person might be more proficient in design. One person might be more proficient in illustration. And another might be proficient, you know, with letters or graffiti or just technique. So we kind of work together to do these projects that individually we might not be able to do ourselves. So we really just try and say, okay, well, what's a typical satisfaction project? We say, well, what's something big enough that none of us could do individually? That would be really taking advantage of the collection. As far as where the future goes, I don't know. I love the fact of not knowing because that's what keeps it exciting. If tomorrow we feel like, oh, well, let's paint a massive mural, or let's go paint a freeway or a rooftop or a billboard, and that's what we'll do. If 3 months down the road, we want to have a gallery experience or we want to do a live art show or some sort of performance piece, then that's the direction we'll do. It's really on this day by day, week by week, you know, what do we feel like doing? You know, what's next? What will keep us excited about it? What's something that we can look forward to? And then also having diverse skills, you know, we can kind of rotate our project. So it's not, we always have to be putting up posters, you know, or let's always be making sure that our stickers are always on the street. You know, if we haven't done a gigantic stencil or we haven't, you know, done some traditional graffiti, we'll go back and revisit that. So
it's great.
Sense, you know, it's great. It's great. It really creates a relaxed sense, and you know, we really feel like we're not in what we're doing is so different than what we've done in the past and the way we operate that we don't have to have that pressure, and we don't have to have that stereotype of, well, these are the guys who do this. This is the guy who always puts up that image. I already can predict what he's going to do next. These are the guys who are the style masters of graffiti, and, you know, they're just going to keep plugging along that. Really, one of our goals is to try and keep people guessing. What are these guys going to do next? So surprising people with the results of, you know, what we put our focus on.
Yeah, I'd imagine in the context of L.A., that there's ample opportunity. It seems like there's more opportunity in a place like this than there would be in smaller urban areas or even in more remote rural areas. Could you speak to Los Angeles in general? Because Satisfaction is based here, but you also have members in Atlanta as well.
Yeah, we do. And there certainly is a difference. I mean, I think whether it be graffiti or street art or art collective, you're working in a bigger city. It's you're fighting more for the attention. Of course, when you can get the attention, you get a lot more attention. For us in Atlanta, or if you wanted to take a smaller middle America city, it might be really easy for us to take that over. But now our audience is limited to that of the population, whereas L.A. has got a massive population. L.A. might be a bias, my own biased opinion, but really is the perfect playing field for street art and what we're doing right now. It seems like an environment that really fosters the forward thinking. And for us, when we started TSF, we felt like, well, people hate graffiti. People hate it. The public hates it. They find it threatening, find it offensive. They find it criminal. They see it as dangerous. And especially in a city like L.A. that has such a rampant amount of gang graffiti, I think the general public can oftentimes have a difficult discriminating between what is gang graffiti and what isn't. Now, I would like to believe that when someone sees a beautiful, full-color masterpiece that might be on a permission-given wall, that they would know that that's not gang graffiti. But I just think the medium of spray paint alone is just incredibly intimidating. But whereas people doing posters and stencils, and take a look at people like Obey and Banksy, where they're just so, they're so loved, and it's like so collectible, and oh, we must protect this. You know, the acts of vandalism that Banksy does, while they might be more, they might have more message, they might be more humorous, satirical, you know, he's still damaging other people's property without permission, and even, you know, with the same artist tools of spray paint. But people don't find it offensive. They find it, oh, well, this is great decoration to the city. It's something that's going to make you think. And again, even with these beautiful graffiti pieces, even on a permission wall, I think for the most part, they're still just the artist's name. They're just the artist's nom de plume, just in a very illuminated manuscript. Now, personally, I'm a huge fan of graffiti. I love it. I can appreciate everything about it, legal and illegal. I can find something to appreciate. And I'm a fan of anything with color on a wall. But with some of the street art, you know, you really might get something just more visual and integrated aesthetically into the landscape. Whereas the general public, they just love it. They just they hate graffiti. In my opinion, they hate graffiti and they love street art. They love it.
Without a doubt, and that's exactly what I found as well. It's as though street art has been accepted in people's homes, on coffee table books, and graffiti represents that uncontrollable, dangerous aspect. It represents something illegal. But yeah, street art being, I feel like there's a huge tension with street art between the professional world and the graffiti world. And it's that professionalism that folks find okay. You know, when you're making T-shirts, it becomes a little bit safer, doesn't it? Or it just when it's acceptable in terms of accessibility, because graffiti is difficult to read. Like you said, even for someone like yourself who has a lot of experience in it, you can't always read the names, and that's intimidating, but so is conceptual art, which is also intimidating. So I think there's
that intimidation on both sides. That's a great point. Yeah, I think a lot of people, I think there's just that accessibility. And, you know, along that line, it's like something that I find really trendy in Los Angeles, and I also find personally disappointing, is a real use of celebrity in street art. And I'm not sure if that's just because the city itself is celebrity obsessed, being the mecca for movies and television, and, you know, if you want to be famous actor or actress, this would be the city to be in. I'm not sure if we're just so celebrity obsessed, but I see a lot of celebrity fetish in street art itself. You know, you've seen a million. I see these people on TV. I see them in billboards, on advertisements. Now, what would motivate someone to further promote that person's fame through an illegal activity of maybe putting up a poster or putting up a stencil of someone who's already famous? I'm not sure what drives that, but on the other hand, the city loves it. You can take a look, you know, let's say an artist like Mr. Brainwash, for example. I think, you know, when he really started in 2008, 90% of his work was celebrities. You know, he did a huge series of famous people kind of wearing the Marilyn Monroe wig a la Andy Warhol style screen printing. I mean, we're talking everyone from Madonna to Marilyn Manson to Larry King Live, even, you know. And to me, it doesn't necessarily make sense. But to the public, it's been proven successful. And I would hate to see that new street artist or people interested would use that as a model. I would hope that they would like to, you know, explore some more original ideas and not just remixing things that are already popular. But you know, by his 2008 art show, he sold $1 million worth of artwork. So to, in some sense, it might really be a recipe. Whereas I just, that might just be impossible to do with graffiti. And then the traditional aspect of graffiti, what I started in the late 90s, you know, doing beat tapes and posters was a lot more rare. Stencils and stickers were around, but that was almost looked down upon. It was almost looked on, as I hate to say it, but like cheating in some sense. Now, people were doing stickers, and people were using, you know, stolen priority mail stickers from the post office, but they would either sit there and hand tag something nice or even, you know, buy some really, you know, more expensive markers and then do something really intricate. It might take 10, 15 or more minutes to make one sticker, whereas now people are just, you know, order online and printing thousands at a time. But back then, for you to do a stencil, because it was something that was pre-made, or like if you were to paint graffiti and use a brush, it was like if they're cheating or to like keep off something. You know, those were like they were like no-nos. Whereas now it's like extremely accepted. And so for me, it's been when we started TSS, it was almost past due. It was like, all right, I've done everything with graffiti. You know, these things are happening. I've been a fan of Obey, you know, for a long time. I always thought what he was doing was really different, but just being raised on really traditional values and of how to do graffiti, I thought, no, that I would never do that. And then when I finally came to accept it, it really opened the doors and kind of, again, renewed my enthusiasm for it. Like, okay, now like I'm going to do things differently, and I just don't care. I don't care about what's right or what's wrong because I've already accomplished what I want to accomplish in the traditional sense.
That's great. I mean, those are a lot of big issues to think about, and I think that's helpful for listeners when thinking about the different levels of street art and where it could go. But the, you know, technique, time, imagery, but also concept being things that you slowly work through. So for listeners who want to learn more about Third One, the Satisfaction, where can they go? Where could you direct folks?
You can find us on our website, which is www.thestatisfaction.com. That's probably the best way to follow our upcoming events and our past accomplishments. Other than that, looking forward to the street.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, Third One, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it, and hopefully we'll have you on again. And we're just scratching the surface, I know, of these topics, and hopefully each week we'll get a little bit deeper. But thanks a lot. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Jim.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.